Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Transformation Cafe. Join us tonight for another hour of light dinner style discussion and learning as we nosh on current events and trends, lending a spiritual perspective. You can join in the conversation of our show by calling 646-727-3206. That's 646-727-3206, or you can go online to our chat area. We would love to hear from you. So let's get started as we introduce our diners for tonight's cafe. Robin?
Yeah.
Hey, Miss Gloria. Thank you so much for that wonderful introduction. Hi, my name is Robin Misevich. I am one of the wonderful diners at the Transformation Cafe. We have a kind of a special situation tonight, Miss Kathy, which is our wonderful switchboard girl. Her and I are actually sitting together for a change tonight. So it's kind of a special evening for us because we actually get to look at somebody while we're doing the show. So that's pretty nice. And we're going to be doing a Southern cuisine tonight. So, we're going to have all kinds of Southern hospitality going on there. It's just going to be a great, great little radio show tonight. So, Miss Gloria, will you introduce yourself, please?
My name is Gloria, and I am here to join in your wonderful evening of conversation.
Maybe partake in a little bit of jambalaya. There we go. It's all good. Mr. Jamie, will you introduce yourself?
Well, how do you all? My name is Jamie Trujillo. I'm an old friend of Robin's from way back when, and I got a tattoo shop up in Seattle. It's called Chromo, and we've been up here almost 14 years. And I'm glad to be part of the dinner group.
Well, we're glad to have him here. And Jamie is basically, he is our up-to-date, he's like Dr. News. I mean, he goes on there. We have every guy on there. Oh, you might as well own it, boy. Just go own it tonight, okay? So making sure that we, especially when it comes to our Earth updates, with all the different activity that's going on the planet, we really want to be as conscious and up-to-date as possible, really, so we can get our prayers and just loving thoughts out to anybody and everyone who's needing our assistance. So we want to go ahead and do that. And Miss Kathy, will you please introduce yourself?
Yes, and I'm a young-time friend of Robin from way back when. I am serving humanity by spreading joy and laughter throughout the land. And I'm the author of a jingle CD. Children's CD that will be out by Christmas.
Woohoo! We're looking forward to have that being just a magnificent stocking stuffer for all the kids and having a wonderful good thing. And Miss Peggy, are you with us?
I certainly am.
Could you please introduce yourself?
I'm Peggy Black. I'm the author and the transducer of the morning message transmissions. And I have a website that offers these 88 transmissions, the messages that are going out to the global community.
Thank you so much.
Fabulous.
They are fabulous. And I had a teacher, Valerie Eaglehart, from my days when I was really studying the medicine way with shamanism and the Navajo people and Starmade Circle. And she had forwarded me one of Peggy's messages, and I've been feeling blessed ever since just to have her messages coming into my consciousness and just kind of making sure that we're awake of stuff. And Peggy had sent a message the other day that we're going to talk about a little bit later in our main course tonight. So I welcome you, Peggy. We love having guest chefs on the show. So
welcome.
Glad to have you. Yes, we're so happy about that because we know that you're going to bring some tasty things to the table. So we're looking forward to that. So let's go ahead and start with our regular appetizers. And first of all, let's get some goodies on the table. So, okay, guys, I'm going to go ahead and list a few things that we have available off the menu. We're going to be at the Jazz Kitchen Cafe at Downtown Disney tonight. So we've got Bourbon Street Sampler, and that thing just has, like, everything. We have barbecue pork sliders, got Creole calamari, coconut shrimp, blackened chicken spring rolls. And that serves up to four people. We may have to get a double on that because we got a couple more diners on the table. That, but you know what? Maybe we should just do that, you guys. We got a little bit of everything. Yeah, what do you think? That sounds good. And Aunt Jamie wants to have a couple oyster shooters. How about that? Do you need a couple oyster shooters, Mr. Jamie?
Oh, that sounds good.
Make them hot.
Woo-wee. Okay, we're going to get a couple of beautiful hams to get them going, and then we'll go ahead and be partaking on that. So that's always a fun thing. So we'll get that going for having something to nosh on besides all the wonderful news that we have going on. So, my goodness, there is so much going on with our Mother Earth update. It's amazing what the planet is doing right now. She is just releasing so much energy and just assisting us and just having us come to another level of awakeness and just, the healing and just releasing of things that have to go on. So we were just kind of, every week it seems like right before we do the show on Sunday, Monday, there's always something new that's going on the planet. And, of course, up until the time we're starting the show, there, you know, was always open to new things that are happening. So when I went ahead and wrote the menu up, we were looking at the earthquake in Indonesia that was a 7.2, and that seemed to be the largest that was happening. But today we had three tornadoes that had landed and had converged. So, Jamie, can you give us a little more of an update on that?
Well, I knew that there were some storms Midwest. I knew that there were quite a few that the storm front went through. I'm not sure about the convergence of three, although I think somebody had it on video, if I'm not mistaken. That, and there was a earthquake in Indonesia on Monday, 7.2. As far as I know, there were no casualties, and it was in the Banda Aceh area, like where the tsunami happened on the Christmas Eve.
Right.
Although I know there were quite a few tornadoes, and you know how they it's not really tornado time yet, although it's coming up on that season, and I'm pretty sure they were probably where they usually have them, in that tornado alley.
Well, you know, out here on the West Coast, we actually had snow falling up in the Sierra Nevadas, almost made it down to the elevation for Reno, but Mammoth had a great deal amount of snow, so we've got some different activity as far as moisture and high fronts and low fronts going on.
Oh, yeah.
And I have a friend who has a friend who had just moved up to northern New York State, and he was having snow on Mother's Day.
Oh, yeah.
So
I also saw a little part in somewhere around Oklahoma City. This guy had like a tennis ball-sized hail. So I guess those are quite a front going through there.
Well, it's preparing us so that we're not going to have a drought, no doubt.
Well, you know, but that's all the really kind of wild things, kind of things going on with, you know, just everything else too. So speaking of that, with all man of the water, what's going on with Nashville? Did Nashville finally be able to have the waters receding, and where are we now with Nashville?
I did look a little bit on YouTube. They had some film of actual the Opryland Hotel and the Opryland Complex that was underwater, and how they were explaining how it came up really quick. I think that it is receding, and it's kind of like a Katrina-style disaster for that area, believe it or not.
Yeah. Well, I'm not doubting it. During that, you know, we were talking last week on the show a little bit about that, and just how, you know, we're really at a place where all the levees and stuff, we're just in such a place of needing to be repaired and have them upgraded, that's a lot of the issues that are going on with all that. So it's just really another showing that we're in a place of basically reconstruction, having things renewed and reinforced in a way that, you know, and highest good for all of us, and having that being good. And what about the volcano, the E15? Are we getting any more activity with that? Or, you know, it's funny because it's like, unless it's like this major thing that's causing problems, it's like it was all of a sudden, oh, we're not going to talk about that anymore.
I think because there's been so much going on that volcano is still active, by the way, and I guess it depends on how active it is and which directions the wind blows, that they are not able to fly in certain areas, or it'll shut down different areas, so they're not thinking it's safe to fly, although it's not as bad as it when it first erupted.
Okay, but there's still issues with having it in creating problems with the European flight plans, you know, the flight routes and stuff.
There have been quite a few cancellations of flights, but it's not like the first the major eruptions that it was. It's still ongoing, though, and as far as any other activity, I haven't heard in from the other mountain that's close to there. Although, I guess so.
Kala, they were saying that they were kind of still kind of to keep an eye on Kala. Well,
right,
you know,
right.
Every day I get up and kind of pray that, you know, Kala just, you know, doesn't necessarily have to do anything.
Of course, you know, when you're talking about the eruption and that sort of time frame, a couple weeks isn't very, very much long in the life of, you know, especially one that's had a history of erupting.
I was just reading on the internet just before the show. You might call what's happening in the Gulf a volcano of oil.
Right.
An eruption of oil.
Right. Wow. That's very interesting. Well, and I had mentioned last week that just through our meditation with the Gulf, because we talked extensively about that last week, about what they were able to do and what was going on with all that, and I was really getting a sense from the planet, it was more like a 9/11 for the Gulf, and really kind of a wake-up call for everybody to see that, you know, this is something that we have to take care of immediately.
Well, I'll tell you what. Now BP is trying to blame the company that built the rig, Transocean, I believe. And then Transocean is trying to blame Halliburton, who had some work on the sealing up this well. They were involved as well. So they're all trying to blame each other. But the fact remains is the quick fix, or the fix that BP had tried to lower that containment dome, apparently that didn't work. And they have another idea for a smaller dome. Then they have another idea that they're going to puncture the line somewhere else and then try to contain it there. Or they're going to try to pump a lot of whatever sludge and debris to kind of clog it up, like they said, like a toilet. But the fact remains, they still haven't stopped the leak, and it's 5,000 gallons a day, I believe, or it might even be more.
It's an incredible amount of that.
They also had a comparison on the news about the size of the slick, and you could superimpose it over any part of, like, where your city is or your state, and just to see how large it is, and it keeps growing.
Yeah, I'm sure, yeah.
Yeah.
So any ideas, Peggy, on ways that we can, just on a loving, you know, sending love and prayers on that level, that would be, helping to, alleviate
one,
the problem?
One of the things, tomorrow, a new transmission is going out to my website. There's like 9,000 people subscribing to this site right now, and one of the things that they spoke about, the team spoke about, was become a stabilizer and an anchor. So, when we observe the outpicturing of occurrences that we're all talking about, whether they're man-made or natural disasters, this is a time for us to focus our energy and our intention to resolve and support those who are experiencing the tragic event, and to realize that we're not just helpless observers. We're a part of the solution. And one of the things is, I always invite everyone, and so does the team, to recognize that we're so powerful as individuals consciously when we do connect, like through programs like yours or other groups that are gathering and doing intentional work, connecting with the collective matrix, which is so empowering. And here's another thing that a lot of people aren't as aware of, that the team is always saying, we really have a lot more celestial support than we recognize.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people are asking. I mean, There's no limit to the amount of asking that we can do, and know that we're getting assisted, and just having a faith that there's something that's there.
You know,
what the faith, yeah.
whether we're asking divine source, whether we're asking the celestial realm, the angelic realm, or even the elementals, is to engage all of that consciousness, all of that energy, that entire collective matrix to resolve or support whatever is going on, so that the least amount of disaster, the least amount of harm is done.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can remember back when we had the tsunami that was going to be going toward Hawaii, and I keep going back to that because, I mean, I really know in my heart of hearts that just through all our technology with cell phones and everything, a lot of people knew that that was forthcoming, and I know there was just a lot of prayers and a lot of just positive thoughts. And I can remember thinking on whatever level when I was doing prayers that, you know, may this dissipate. May
exactly.
it no longer be something that it needs to happen. And if it does need to happen, you know, may it be less than what fear would create it to be.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah. So, you know, maybe that's the thought we need to have on all these things of, you know, may that oil just dissipate. And for whatever reason, they're going to say, wow, all of a sudden it stopped, and we don't know why. Wouldn't that be lovely?
That would
exactly.
be.
You know, we can envision. You know,
yeah,
when Bruce Lipton frequently, and so does Greg Braden, you know, they talk very much about the quantum field, and we're all recognizing that we imprint that quantum field, and I think somebody was saying it that the smallest amount, 8,000, focused on one resolve, produces phenomenal results. 8,000 is not very many, but of course,
yeah.
to get 8,000 people purposely focused to capping the oil or assisting, so to speak, a tsunami dissipating, some of those things, I think that's where we're all being invited to step up consciously and recognize we are powerful, multidimensional beings. We can do these things together. And I think part of... Pardon?
Yeah. I was going to say, one thing that came up for me, I was in a business, it was actually a business networking meeting that we had this last week for entrepreneurs to brainstorm with one another. And one thing that came through for me was, you know, the whole idea that with a matrix, with the energy, just like anything else, whether it's electrical or whatever, there's a grid of energy or there's a grid of energy that's being created. And a lot of spiritual people believe in a level of there's, you know, a new level of healing energy coming on that they call a grid. And what I was hearing is having it be a grid, you know, grid networking, and call it grid working as opposed to networking, and have it be where people are wanting, like you're saying, to be conscious, coming together in a very conscious way and really assisting, you know, whatever kind of changes that are in the highest good for everybody. But along with that, too, is coming from a level of surrendering that however this oil has to basically dissipate itself and have it be minimal, you know, may that happen.
Mm-hmm,
and not
absolutely.
Really getting into logistics of exactly how that would happen, just so it can do what it needs to do, and the people who can help with that are guided to feel passionate about that and have them go and have for change and helping it to heal.
Well, first of all, you're correct about the grid work. I love the idea of network grid work.
Yeah, grid work. Mm-hmm,
But the thing about it is we're all a part of this conscious matrix. And when we step in and recognize that we are and begin to visualize or hold the vision, energize the vision of something better, like you say, whatever is evolving, whatever is happening with our planet with the various earthquakes and the various eruptions that are taking place, begin to see a stabilizing force that begins to settle in rather than the fear that all of this evokes.
Well, one thing, too,
right.
that I heard the other day, too, just like, you know, with what's happening for just messages, is that, you know, I think that it was an analogy of birthing pain, of something new, something very new and wonderful is coming, a new baby, a new consciousness is coming onto the planet, and we're having birth pains. We're having going through that transition of allowing this new being to come onto the planet. So with that is all these different, you know, earthquakes, volcanoes, you know, tornadoes, all the different ways that energy is being expressed in a way that basically is helping to release a lot of energy that really has to get off the planet. And some of it's very based in fear. It's the fact that we've got fears and things like that need to be released off the planet. So,
a lot of that is also in alignment with the different rays that the planet is going through at the moment, the energy fields within the universal strata. Because we've been going through different levels of different energetic fields now for probably 15 to 20 years, and we're beginning to reach the apex of the most concentrated fields. So we're going to be experiencing pressure from different levels. And like I had said before, is the earth tilts, it squeezes things, and you have stuff pop up like acne.
Right.
Well, one of the other things that's occurring that, you know, as we complete these many incredible cycles that we're going through that the Mayans have been talking about and everybody, the buzz about, you know, the different cycles that are all coming to this closure, and we're all going, what's going to happen? Even the magnetic fields of the sun, they've been aware now that we can measure things, that we're having some of the largest magnetic fields literally coming from the sun and enveloping our planet just in the last couple weeks.
Right, and that makes sense based upon the whole universe. It's not just the planet that's going through this ray. It's our entire universe.
Absolutely. Our whole universe, we're cycling through one of the last big cycles of our universe moving through the galaxy. I mean, it's quite phenomenal. Greg Braden is so brilliant in how he explains each of these incremental cycles and changes that are like clicking in. It's almost like a combination lock, you know, click, 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 and everything's just moving to that place. And we're experiencing the energy shifts. And I don't know who spoke about the rays or the shift in the rays that's consciously bathing everything.
Right. And I don't know if you've heard of it, but in addition to the materials that you're saying that Greg Braden has worked on, I came across a book a long time ago, and I have never seen another one, and it is called Prelude to Ascension, and it was written by Janet McClure, and she was doing a lot of the channeling for Guaymas and some others, and they were talking about the rays back then. And so that was, let me look at the copyright here, that was in 96, and so you can figure, I mean, this book is approximately... I have pages here, not including the pertinent information at the beginning and the end. This book is approximately 850 pages.
Oh my God!
So you can figure the amount of time that it took them to be able to take all of this material and to put it into a book form, and then to go through the publishing process.
Awesome.
So it's been out there for such a long time, and there are a select few who have been studying it. Sorry for the rattling. There are a select few who have been studying it and aware of it for quite some time, and so now we have mass consciousness that we just need to bring into the edification process and awareness.
Absolutely.
Peggy?
Yes?
Peggy, can you kind of give our listeners a little bit of an update on what we're talking about with Greg Braden, just in case there's people out there that don't really know his background, and they're just like, who the heck is Greg Braden? Can we get a little bit of a background on him?
Yes. Well, Greg Braden is a very prolific writer, and a number of his books, I know he has a book called The Spontaneous Healing of Belief and Shattering the Paradigm of Our False Limits. His latest book is Fractal Time, and it's a secret of 2012 and the New World Age. And he talks a great deal about what we're going through literally at this very moment. He says, December 21st, 2012 signals the end of a long and mysterious cycle of time.
Is it like 260,000 years or something like that?
Yeah, it says a great world age that began 5,125 years ago. And then he goes on and just, he has a book called The Divine Matrix, bridges time, space, miracles, and beliefs. I mean, this man has been on target for so long, even looking back, I think it's back in the 90s, he wrote a book called Awakening to Zero Point. So, I mean, this man has his pulse and his consciousness on a lot of what we're experiencing, and he speaks about it very eloquently. I know a number of YouTubes that people can go and just Greg Braden and check out all the information that he's offering. It's quite phenomenal. You know, he did the God Code. It's just,
what I was really thinking was just like, you know, he's a scientist that's looking at science through spirituality. So he's showing the merging of two different disciplines that for centuries have just haven't necessarily been something that people were associating with one another.
Yeah.
But he's showing how we, you know, it's time for us to be embracing both of them in a way. Was he in NASA? Did he work for NASA?
I think he did. I want to say he did, but it might have been Lockheed Martin. I'm not sure.
Yeah, he definitely was working for some larger as a scientist. I'm not sure if what his position was, but I know, you know, for whatever reason, I want to say he was a quantum physicist or something like that. And then through just his personal experiences through seeking his own spiritual truth, he started really going into archaeology and all the different kinds of things and really just looking at a lot of different ways things are getting merged together for people to see stuff.
Exactly.
So very
and I'm really glad that you brought up the point that he does weave the spiritual awareness with the scientific data in a very elegant way.
Yeah, you can totally get two or three CDs in a program, and he's basically just giving you you know, research after research after research of some of these things that he's basically helping people to understand, where you're seeing the merging of, you know, some kind of a story or some kind of evidence that's been dug up, and what that actually can be in a way of looking at it from from physics or whatever level, so we can understand it in multidimensional ways. So it's really, indeed, it's a very nice way of helping us to understand it, which is, you know, real down to earth.
He does. He speaks in a language that's easy to understand. He can take very large concepts and puts them and weaves them together in a way that you leave his presentation going, oh my gosh, that was outrageous, because you could really grasp and understand where he was taking you. Beautiful, beautiful presenter.
Yeah, I heard a radio interview with him from another lady, and he says the only time he has time to write anything is when he's going from place to place to place. So actually, he's in the point now where he's writing all of his books while he's flying, which is pretty amazing.
No kidding.
And other than that, he's talking and telling people about what he's learned and what's going on with things. So his research and everything else is in airplanes with his writing and everything. So he's a very dedicated guy. And, you know, thank God for him, because there's a lot of people who are waking up because they're seeing, you know, the connections on multiple levels. So that's very, very cool. Jamie, anything else you need to do for any kind of these updates that are, you know, just coming to us, you know, a little bit more and more as we speak?
Not really. I mean, I'm just waiting for something else to happen, I guess.
Well, I'm hoping that, you know, it all settles down and we can get back to the appetizers and we're enjoying our Bourbon Street sampler. So, you know, that's kind of
all of a sudden I hear the music going, I feel the earth move.
Yeah.
I'm your muffin.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what? I have the jingle.
Oh, wait a minute. We got a jingle.
Mother Earth, here we are. Here we are. You're on a journey. We came here to help you. Yes, we did. Yes, we did. Mother Earth, all is well. All is well. We will keep it happy, and you will ascend. Yes, you will. Yes, you will. Mother Earth, here we are. Here we are. We will play together in joyful, loving harmony. Yes, we will. Yes, we will. Mother Earth, we are one. We are one. We are headed for the fifth dimension. Yes, we are. Yes, we are.
Okay. Thank you, Katie.
Bravo. Where is the sixth dimension?
The sixth dimension? Okay, go, Peggy. Where's the sixth dimension?
Well, the way the team talk about the dimensions are like, they're like nesting dolls, and it's a matter of us changing our personal frequency. You know,
I
ask about this, and they say, you know, your reality and what you allow in is 10% of what's always available to you.
Right.
So as we
right.
begin to open up a little more fully to the other 90%, then we begin to recognize that we literally move between the dimensions all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just catching us, catching ourselves doing that, recognizing that we do that. And from what I understand, the sixth dimension is what holds our patterns.
Well, you know, and I was just noticing that today. I was out having lunch today, and it just felt the land, just the atmosphere, everything just felt so different today.
Exactly.
And I really just kind of sat back and just kind of looked at everything. Everything seemed a little bit brighter, and here in Southern California, you know, we had like a really cool 70-degree day today, and it was quite breezy. It felt like something that was what we would have called like an early January.
Mm-hmm.
And here we're almost to the end of May, and we're having this very cool weather. So it's just like this, everything is really, really changing.
Well,
I mean, in some ways, I'm just saying, wow, this is delightful, but yet it's just like this is very different.
But, you know, what was going on as far as I can feel from my own experience is we're straddling a familiar reality, and then we move into another one, and then we come back, and I think we're bridging back and forth as a collective and personally. And that's the scary part. People are feeling incredible things going on with their physical body. As our body begins to upgrade, you know, as we begin to recognize that things are shifting internally in our whole neural system and the way in which everything is put together.
Well, and the greatest part about that is that they actually have an opportunity to experience the flux instead of just having it happen all at once.
Exactly.
And so the idea of embracing change is something that people have been needing to do now for a while, and when they embrace it, their shifting will be so much easier.
Well,
yeah.
that's the wonderful thing about what's going on and has been going on for, in my lifetime, see, I'm 68, so I was involved in a lot of this in the 60s and aware. And so as I've watched in my own progression and growth, watching the collective, I mean, in the 60s, there wasn't programs like this. I couldn't go to a metaphysical bookstore, and there wasn't so many welcomed information coming in from, so to speak, people like myself and others who are, so to speak, channeling information from higher consciousness. So all of that is a part of this evolutionary shift that we're all experiencing. It's phenomenal.
Well, were you ever privy to the website that was up called spiritweb.org?
Spiritweb.org sounds so familiar.
Well, they were up, and they were based out of Sweden, and then this lady just dismantled the whole thing, and it was, I don't know if she received threats. I don't know what exactly happened, but it's almost taboo. She has an art page now, and it's almost taboo. So fortunately, I have a bunch of documents that have the names of the various people who had contributed. There were millions of documents that people had put on the web for people to have access to, and it's no longer available.
Huh. Isn't that
it? It's very sad.
Yes.
Yeah,
you know.
That is very sad. That's very, very sad. So we're kind of flipping back and forth watching the switchboard. We've got somebody who had sent us a message, and they were wanting to have somebody define ascension. Peggy, you want to take a shot?
Sure.
Go ahead.
You give me all the hard questions.
Yeah, I'm going to put you on the barbecue. Go ahead.
My translation of ascension would be waking up consciously. Waking up to recognizing that we truly are magnificent multidimensional beings, and we do travel from dimension to dimension, time frame to time frame. As we wake up and recognize this, that is an aspect of our own ascension.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Very good. Very good. Okay. Well, you know what? We're now that our appetizers are kind of like calmed down. I mean, I think we just got crumbs on that plate. We did a good job on the appetizers. We're gonna start looking at what we're gonna have for dessert. So I'm just gonna kind of put them out there for you guys to think about it. So for dessert, since we're in our Southern Soul Food kitchen, okay, we've got corn fritters, we got sweet potato pie, some pecan pie, and we also have the New Orleans bread pudding. What do you guys think?
I'm originally from Texas, so I'm going to take the pecan pie.
Yeah, that's right. Is it pecan or pecan?
Oh, and, it just
depends on how your accent is.
That is pecan pie.
Okay. Pecan or pecan. So, okay, depending on where you are, so that's all good.
So with the bread pudding, is that a hard whiskey sauce or is it a lemon sauce?
Mm. Oh, girl, it's hard whiskey. Come on now. We have a couple extra callers, so we can ask our callers what do they think. So we have the prefix 936-825. Hi,
yes.
Caller, are you there?
Yes, I am, if you can hear me.
I can hear you. So what would you like? Do you want the sweet potato pie or a pecan pie?
Well, I'm from Texas, so I'll take pecan as well.
Okay, there we go. We're going to get the whiskey thing going on there. Okay, and then our other prefix is 814-706. Are you there, Paula? 814-706. Okay, we're not having that one answered, but that's okay. Well, you know, there we go. We're going to get that going on it. So if you guys have been listening in the whole time, we have a wonderful guest chef, which is Peggy Black tonight. And, again, she is the creator of the Morning Messages, which we are all really enjoying. And Peggy had a special message, which is message 80, that was on rituals and had to do with what I really loved about it. She was talking about it's just a matter of looking from a different perspective when you're changing a behavior. And,
right.
And instead of calling something a behavior, you really start looking at it as a sacred opportunity to really take a moment out of your life and say, instead of just chowing down on my food, you know, I'm basically going to be giving thanks and gratitude for the food that I do have. You know, and then we had also talked about having the fact that, you know, every thought that you have can be a prayer. Every thought that you can have can be something positive and motivating that can be something that can really really help and lift a person, lift a situation on whatever level. So I was really excited when Peggy was really wanting to come on and be one of our diners tonight. So, Peggy, do you want to elaborate a little bit more on that message with the ritual and then having it being a changed behavior?
Well, what I want to introduce, yes?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay.
I didn't know if I was told if I was unmuted or not. I won't stay on the phone. I just wanted to say that in my own meditation, what I've been told is that we're all going through a cocooning process.
Mm-hmm.
Metamorphosis, if you will, because, as we all know, a caterpillar cocoons and then it comes out as a butterfly.
Woo-hoo!
There you go.
Yay, I can't. Kathy was really excited about the butterfly thing.
Yeah.
So, do you mind sharing your name with us?
My name is Thomas.
Oh, Thomas, thank you for calling in. And we always love having our diners on. So please, come on and give us your perspective anytime you like. So we thank you for that. So, Peggy, can you go ahead and add on to what
I would like to add to what Thomas said. In the sense is the team is frequently using the analogy of the experience of the caterpillar and what it must feel like as it breaks out of that cocoon that it's been so comfortable in and becomes this other entity, this other being. Its ascension, so to speak, would be the butterfly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I just agree with what Thomas is saying. That's another wonderful analogy for what seems to be happening to humanity at this time. I wanted to speak a little bit about an emotional buffet since we're dining here in this.
Yeah, you go, girl. Okay.
So
you already have the rest of tonight.
So imagine that you're at an emotional buffet table and you have a plate in hand. Life offers you an experience which you can perceive as rejection. And then this triggers your anger and sadness. Now on your plate, you have a helping of rejection, some anger, and a side of sadness. These are the energetic, the emotional vibrations that you're feeding yourself. Now imagine a buffet where you serve yourself a helping of joy, spiced with laughter, a huge serving of love, and a side of grace. Imagine how the...
Okay. Yes, we're on that kind of a no-brainer, Peggy. I don't think I even have to, like, think about it.
So imagine how delightful that meal would be. These are high, pure, energetic foods that sustain your aliveness. They feed your soul and your vital life force. They add years to your life, assisting your body in rebuilding healthy cells, tissues, and bones. Lovingly feed yourself delicious emotions.
Oh, that's wonderful.
That's one of the guidance cards from the invitation deck.
Oh, okay. Mm. Talk a little bit about that, too, so people kind of know about that since we've been just talking about your morning messages.
The morning messages, there's 88 free transmissions that are offered at morningmessages.com. And they're about, they're a page long. And they're very insightful. They'll stretch everybody's consciousness. And they invite us to step in and step up to being who we are as magnificent, multidimensional beings. And then last year I created a deck of cards that are called invitations. And each one is a card that you would pull for the day, and that might be the card you focus on. That's a physical action that lifts your consciousness.
Okay, very nice, very nice. That's very cool. Okay, cool.
How can we get those?
Yeah, how can we get those?
You can go to morningmessages.com. There's a product page, and you can order them there. And I was going to read another. You were talking about ritual.
Uh-huh.
And this is another one of the cards. And
it
says, rituals open and close any activity or time frame. Become aware of the rituals already in your life and see how you can shift or elevate your habits to become a sacred act. Rituals assist in the full spiritual presence coming forth. A ritual before a meal prepares the body-mind to accept the food offered. A prayer of gratitude, a simple bowed head, completes the act of eating. A ritual intention created as you shower or bathe has great power to cleanse the energy field as well as the body. Create rituals that acknowledge the seasons and stages of your life. By honoring these passages, you step clearly into the next. These are conscious actions you will embody. With these conscious actions, you will embody each activity and stage of your life more fully. By the act of creating ritual, you stay more conscious, present, and alive to whom you truly are.
There you go. Well, you know, I'm gonna have the habit of joy, laughter, and just, you know, having a good time. So there we go.
That's wonderful.
That's right. No, and it's a choice. It's a choice of having those things that you choose over other things that could have happened. It's I have been having a lot of people lately that we've been having conversations about letting go of worry. And how worry doesn't really serve you.
No, worry doesn't serve you.
It just doesn't help to worry. So it's been really lovely to kind of be having these conversations. And they just seem to be very spontaneous. And also, I wanted to kind of see if a lot of the diners are having the same experience. I'm also all of a sudden starting to meet a lot of people that are very like-minded, like I am. And I don't necessarily have to say who or what I am, but we just automatically just seem to have this rapport with one another.
Mm-hmm.
Are you guys experiencing that too? Mm-hmm. It's all now everybody seems to just kind of be coming out of the woodwork, whether it was an older friend and they've kind of changed and their perspective's more like you, or there's so many new people.
Oh, no.
Here comes another jingle. Oh, no. We have another jingle.
We're having fun. We're having fun. We're having fun and learning at the very same time. We're having fun and learning at the very same time. We're having fun. We're having fun. We're having fun and learning at the very same time. We're having fun.
Okay.
We're having fun.
We're all about the joy. We're all about the joy. I told you, Kathy and I were sitting together tonight. So, yeah, these jingles are happening a little bit more spontaneously than they normally do. So, that's okay.
We're having fun.
We're having fun with that. Yeah. Exactly. So, yeah, just some really good things. So, Gosh, Peg, I just really want to just acknowledge your passion and your just willingness to put these things out and just to be such a good voice for so many wonderful things that just people are ready to hear and to know. So thank you so much for the work that you do.
Oh, you're so welcome. One of the things when you were speaking earlier about what can we do as a group, in September I created a YouTube called Cleanse the Currency.
Okay.
And it went spiral, viral, all over the internet very quickly.
Uh-huh.
And it was the idea that every time currency comes into our hands, a dollar bill, a $5 bill, a $20 bill, any money, it carries the signature and a tracing of everybody's emotion that's touched it.
Oh, I hadn't thought about that.
So if somebody goes to the grocery store and buys milk and bread with their last $5, and you step in next and get $5 worth of change, you've just picked up their fear and scarcity vibration.
Right.
And you put it in your pocket or your purse. And so the team was saying, as conscious beings, as multidimensional beings, we need to be aware of the energy fields that we're inviting into our personal field.
Okay,
and that money carries a lot of issue with people. The scarcity, the not enough, the greed, the all of the shadiness and the illegal things that go on around money.
Right.
And so they were always invited everyone to go to their bank. And when you stand in the bank to just make a simple deposit, call upon the celestial beings, the shapeshifters and changers, the divine beings, and say, I invite you to clean and clear the currency in this establishment so that it goes out and blesses everyone and everything it touches.
Oh, I like that.
Imagine if everybody, every time you went into the bank, did that.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the things.
Great. Go ahead.
Those are the things we can do as conscious beings.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, I think that's another reason why this whole grid working, you know, instead of networking, was just something that kind of came up. And I'm really feeling inspired that, you know, whether it's this show or we create another show and have it be something where we're just really kind of putting it out there for people that, you know, that's what we're about. We're wanting people to be able to come on who are awake and or wanting to be understanding at a different level and really just in a place of learning and expanding their sense of what they know and, you know, totally going up to that 6, 7s and, you know, 10th dimension. That's awesome.
Well, one of the things that's real important also is to recognize the power of sound. And I host a sound pod once a month, and we get together.
Tell people what the sound pod is.
A sound pod, I do a lot of sound work and sound therapy, sound healing. And I open up my home to it's an open forum. People come, and we express our emotions without words, so through sound.
Uh-huh.
So if your boss, say for an example, somebody comes to SoundPod and they've had a really bad week, maybe their boss really chewed them out and it wasn't even justified, but they can't do anything about the emotions that it stirs up because they'll lose their job if they mouth off.
Right.
So when they come to SoundPod, we do a segment called Free Sound where people can, where people express that anger or that upset or that frustration through just purity of sound.
Uh-huh.
With our eyes closed, our consciousness in our heart. And what you do is you begin to clean and clear your body of all the emotional storage that you've put in your cells.
Can I add to what you're saying, Peggy?
Pardon?
May I add to what you're saying?
Yes, Thomas.
I listened to a woman recently and she was looking at what the Japanese have done with sound and how it affects water.
Yes.
And she's been doing this for a number of years and got validation through the scientific research done. But what she does when healing someone is she sets them in a tub of water and she puts a loudspeaker next to the tub and plays music loudly that is enjoyable to the customer, and it helps heal them because we are 70% liquid.
Water.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. Well, Thomas, I created an international sound symposium in 2002, and we had some of the most phenomenal pioneers of sound, sound healing, you know, all the sound therapy in the from the scientific world as well as the shamanistic world, because sound has been used for as a healing modality and a power on our planet since the beginning. And so we can use sound, like you say, because our body is made of so much fluid and water, is that how we store our emotions is in ourselves. And so if we have a trauma in childhood that we can't express, that we don't express, that we weren't able to express, it gets stored somewhere in our tissue. And we can each one begin to allow ourselves to express that frustration or that sadness or that grief and do it on a personal level, which is good for us to do daily, basically. It kind of cleans out your circuits. But we can do it collectively. And that's another aspect of what SoundPod does. At some point in the evening, we close our eyes, we go to our sacred space, and we allow ourselves to express the frustration or the sadness or the grief that's held in the collective. So like when Haiti happened and the earthquake happened, you know, we offered a voice to that collective grief and sadness.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, what's coming up for me is like to have these kind of gatherings and make it a pool party.
Make it a what?
Make it a pool party. Have a big pool at a hotel or something, and everybody gets in the water, and we basically just have everybody getting healed by being in the water.
I think that's great.
It's like, okay, that's one in the rotten egg. Let's go.
I think a really good example of how sound energy adversely affects people is when you hear someone with one of those loud stereos in their car that's bump, 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 bump.
Yeah.
The lower chakra beat.
Right.
Yeah. You know, when I hear that, I just think of someone who's really wanting to get back to their primal roots, and they're looking to a level of, you know, before civilization on a certain level where they're really grounding into the root chakra and all that and really, like you're saying, tribal. They're looking to connect to a tribal level of themselves, and that's really the only way they know how and have it be acceptable in, you know, in the modern day world.
I would love to think about it in that light, but when it's vibrating the windows of my house as I go outside, it makes it rather difficult, you know?
Well,
I know that there's... I hear you.
The thought that goes through my mind is at least they're driving down the street. They're not stopping.
Yeah, they're going to be leaving. Yeah, they're moving away from me. That's a good thing. Right. Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, and then ultimately, you know, depending on your spiritual perspective, you know, can I love that person and can I love what they're doing on whatever level because they're helping me to see something I wasn't seeing before, you know. Let me love that even though it may be driving me nuts. It's helping me to shift and recognize something I might have not been conscious of before.
Thomas, I will give you a tool that Wayne Perry and Jeffrey Thompson both have talked about in the sense of sounds that affect us in an adverse way, is that one of the things that they invite us to do is match it.
Okay.
Because in quantum physics, when two of the similar frequencies and vibrations connect, they disqualify each other. That, you know, that's not a scientific term, but I think you get the idea of what I'm speaking about. So when that sounds coming through, just go, wah, 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 or however the beat is going.
The terminology is cancel out.
In my office, out in the backyard, my office, I have a computer out there as well, and I have Tibetan meditation bells playing on that with the windows open and the speakers in the windows.
Excellent.
The plants are reflecting the energy from that as well, because I have plants that I didn't plant. Like, I have sunflowers that are, the plants are like 8 feet tall growing in my backyard now.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Volunteers. They're volunteers.
Yeah,
they just
came up on their own.
Yeah, exactly. They're just representing the sun for you. How wonderful.
Yeah.
And seize the new potential, because sunflowers are all about seize the potential. So there you go. That's awesome. Very, very good. I do that too.
I play music, meditation music to my plants.
Oh, yeah, they love it. They love it, you know. I mean, if you look back to, like, the secret life of plants, I mean, even if you just loved a leaf that had been taken off a tree and it was on a table and you looked at it every day and said, thank you for living for me. You're just this gorgeous thing. I'm sorry, it would live for a month just because you're sending it your energy and appreciating that it's existing for you.
If you were talking about, Peggy, you were talking about how the things you open up to will come through and they keep coming through more and more.
Yes.
I've opened up myself up to communication with other life forms.
Wonderful.
And that comes through stronger and stronger, but what really surprised me and some other humans that I was on the phone with is that I was receiving mind speak, as I call it, or telepathy, with autistic children.
Yes.
And
yeah,
was,
that makes me.
I was saying things that that I had no way of knowing, but I was hearing it from the children, and I had to keep telling the people on the phone, I don't know this stuff. I'm just repeating what's being told to me.
Well,
right.
Thomas, what you're showing is an example of as we literally, as a society, are evolving, we're waking up, we're all meant to be clairvoyant, clairsentient, and clairaudient. We're all meant to be that way. We come in that way as children, and a lot of times it's just totally shut down very early. Or if it isn't shut down, we find ways to shut it down because it's been too painful for us as infants and children to feel what our parents were feeling, what was in the collective pain body, or as Eckhart Tolle talks about it. And we go to sugar. That's the interesting thing.
Well, you know, and I'd like to add that when I asked, because I'm very telepathic and I have heard people speak as if they are speaking with their mouths, so I can hear the thoughts very prevalently. And at one point I was having a conversation with God and I asked, I said, so, you know, this is such an efficient way of communication because it's more than just words. You get, it's a plethora, a cornucopia, if you will, of all the sights and sounds in the sensational being of the fibers of our mind. And it's a virtual reality that we could experience. And it would make our lives, as humanity goes, much more evolved. And I asked God, I said, well, this is so incredible. You know, why can't we do this? And the answer that I got is that because people are incapable at the moment, not, or maybe I shouldn't use incapable, it was that people, the exact words were, people do not know how to control their thoughts and they would hurt people.
Mm-hmm.
Don't even talk to me about the one creator of God, because I was speaking to him too one day and he gave me an idea, and I stood there in my driveway and I said, you know, that's ludicrous that you would even suggest that to me. In fact, you're ludicrous. And the response was, okay, but I'm not the one hearing voices in my head. I'm not the one hearing voices in my head, and I almost fell over. I was laughing so hard. I'm like, that is just wrong. That is mean to say that to me.
That's funny.
God, it just.
We have a lively table tonight. We are down to a minute, you guys. So our normal way of closing is having an inspirational after dinner mint, and the one tonight says, the earnest student takes responsibility and never forgets to have fun. So we just wanted to thank you guys for just a wonderful conversation. Thanks for the appetizers and the dessert. And just being a place where you never forget to have fun and just enjoying those little voices in your head knowing that they're God. So there you go. It's very good. So thank you for coming. And we're going to go ahead and have you guys take those leftovers home and be safe driving home. And
all right. Take care.
I'm looking forward to you guys. Thank you so much.
Good night. Drive well.
Good night. We'll
take
see you later.
Care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
This has been another wonderful evening filled with lively and unusual dinner conversation and you. We are so glad you decided to join us. You make it special, and we are always happy to hear from you at Transformation Cafe. You can find out more about the people on our shows by checking out our website, transformation-cafe.com. where all our previous shows are available on demand, or here at Blog Talk Radio, Transformation Cafe. If you are interested in appearing as a guest chef, you can email us at show@transformation-cafe.com. Thanks again, travel well, and we will see you next time. Good night.